The reading today is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. You can find it on page 848. Hebrews chapter 2, starting from verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will.
Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the best King of all. You are the Lord of Lords. And we pray now as we look at your word together that by your Spirit you'd give us humble hearts, hearts that would delight to listen to what you, our King, have to say to us. And we pray this for your honour. Amen. Do sit down, everyone, and have a turn back to Hebrews chapter 2. It's page 848 of the Bibles that are scattered. Everybody got that? Hebrews chapter 2, page 848. Not so long ago, we were staying with some friends who have a little dog called Smarty. And we were just about to head out for a walk, and they said, oh, if you're going out, you know, for your walk, you need to put away any chocolate you might have, because Smarty will sniff out any chocolate in the house. And he will eat it all up. And the thing is, he mustn't eat it all up because apparently chocolate is poisonous to dogs. So if he eats the chocolate, he could die. So they said, if you've got any chocolate, seal it all up and put it in a high place that Smarty can't reach. And I thought, well, we've got that box of heroes, but the room we're staying in is, well, it's upstairs. And the dog is, well, he's downstairs, and the dog is only very small. And the truth was, the dog was virtually blind. And so we had this box of heroes in a bag that was lying on the floor of the room that we were staying in upstairs. And, well, I did sort of go up to the room and just sort of fold the lid over the bag a little bit. But I thought that would be fine because the dog is very small and we're upstairs and the dog was virtually blind. So what's the big deal? We go for our walk, we come back, and the whole box had been eaten. Every single chocolate had gone. And what was weird is that every single chocolate had been individually unwrapped. And all the wrappers were strewn around the bedroom. And my first thought was, one of the children. One of the children has eaten all the heroes. And then I saw that the box was kind of ripped, and I realized it was Smarty. He'd eaten the chocolates. He'd eaten the chocolates, and my first thought, I have to confess, was, what a waste of a good box of chocolates. And then my second thought was, ah, I've killed their dog. You know what my problem was? I didn't pay careful attention. The clue that I wasn't paying careful attention was I didn't really listen to what they said. Our friends had said, seal the chocolates. Put them in a bag out of reach. And all I did was sort of just cover them up a little bit. And the reason I didn't listen is because I didn't really take them seriously. He's just a very small dog. He's virtually blind. The room is upstairs. He's never going to find the chocolates. But he did. They immediately got in touch with the vet, and you'll be pleased to hear that he survived. But we lost the whole box of heroes. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. What have we heard? Chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. What have we heard? We've heard God speak to us. We've heard God speaking to us by his Son. And so the writer of the Hebrews is saying, pay careful attention to Jesus. And how do I pay careful attention to him? I listen to him. Because it sounds a bit dull, doesn't it? Listen to him. But when you're friends with someone, it's not dull to listen to them. It's what you love doing. Listen to them, because it makes you laugh when they tell you funny stories, when they tell you interesting things, when they tell you what they're thinking about, what they're feeling about, when they tell you their hopes and their fears. It's not boring to listen to the people you love. It's how you get to know them better. And God wants us to know him. And so he's spoken to us by his Son. And he says, listen to him. And listening to Jesus is not boring. Has anyone been watching Brian Cox's program, The Wonder of the Universe? Anyone been watching that? Just a few of us. It kind of makes me smile, because in my day, Brian Cox was a pop star before he became a particle physicist. In my day, he was a pop star. And he had a number one hit with Things Can Only Get Better, which, according to the second law of thermodynamics, which he spent the whole first program explaining, is not true. Things can only get worse. Anyway, that aside, it is a fascinating program. Listening to him talk about the wonders of the universe, you just sit there going, wow. Imagine listening to a man who didn't just make a program about the wonders of the universe. Imagine listening to the man who made the wonders of the universe. That's Jesus, says Hebrews. He's the one through whom God made the universe, he said back in chapter 1. So there is Brian Cox wondering where we've come from, wondering why we are here, wondering what the future of our planet might hold. Imagine listening to the man who is not just wondering. Imagine listening to the man who knows why we're here, who knows where we've come from, who knows what the future of our planet will hold. That's what we've seen, isn't it? Hebrews chapter 1. If we're listening to Jesus, we're listening to the one who holds the universe in his hands. The one who holds me and you in his hands. That is not boring, to listen to Jesus, because he's not just another religious teacher. That possibly would be boring. You're listening to the King of the universe. And as you listen to him, you are getting to know the one who made the universe and the one who made you. You say, okay, possibly that could be interesting, but the truth is I'm not that fussed. The reason I didn't really listen to the whole thing about the chocolates was I didn't really take the whole sort of danger of the chocolates seriously. The letter to the Hebrews is saying, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus because he's got something to say that is bigger than chocolates. He's got something to say that is about salvation. And salvation means rescue. And the writer of the Hebrews is saying, listen to Jesus, because he is the King of the universe come to rescue us. When I was about 14, I was down in Cornwall on a youth camp. It's got a little, yeah, there we go. We were sort of walking along a clifftop path, kind of fooling around. I probably wasn't quite looking where I was going. I don't know exactly what happened. Somehow, I lost my footing and fell off the edge of a cliff. And I grabbed kind of fistfuls of grass that kept kind of coming out in my hands as I grabbed them. And I slid down a little way, down some sort of loose shingly stuff, onto a ledge. And the distance from where I was to the top was too high for me to reach. And the gravel it was all sort of too sort of loose and shingly for me to climb up. And I really couldn't afford to slip because down below was a horribly long way down towards the sea. And I sort of just remember sitting there, hardly daring to move. And my friend Sam hung over the edge, a whole load of other guys grabbing his ankles, and he grabbed hold of my hands. and he guided me up. And my eyes were kind of looking up at Sam, and he was telling me where to put my feet. He was saying, you know, over a little bit left, a little bit right, higher, lower, lower. Do you think I paid attention to Sam? Do you think I listened to him? Do you think my mind kind of wandered? I thought, oh, no, I wonder what we'll do next week. I was listening to Sam. My life depended on it. My life was in his hands. I listened. And that's the kind of way that Jesus wants us to listen to him. Not just, oh, it'd be interesting to listen to him because he's fascinating. You know, king of the universe. Wow. Listen to him because the king is our rescuer. Our lives are in his hands. And not to listen would be very serious. You say, okay, how do I listen to Jesus? Look at chapter 2, verse 1 again. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. So you do notice it's the message we have heard. It's not keep your ears open for new messages. It's keep going back to what God has said through his Son. In other words, keep going back to the book that is all about his Son. Keep going back to the Bible, the Jesus book. Of course, that sounds so dull, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds so like school. We've got to read the Bible. The writer to the Hebrews knows exactly what we're thinking. So just turn over the page. And chapter 4, verse 12, do you see how he describes the Bible? Chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible is not dull. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Someone comes at you with a double-edged sword, that is not dull. It's a double-edged sword that could slice you in two, dividing bone from marrow. That is a number of things, but the one thing it is not is dull. And what he's saying is this book is powerful. It could cut your heart in two. Because it's not just what God said way back then. It's what God, by his Spirit, says today. It's the King of the universe telling us how he has come to rescue us. So pay careful attention, he says. You've got to listen. And if we don't, do you see what will happen? Verse 1, we will drift away from him. Drift is what boats do. Drifting. See the woman up there in this boat. Strikes me, this lady in this boat is not particularly paying attention. She's got herself all comfortable, and frankly, I think she's taking a bit of a snooze. What happens? What happens when you don't pay attention in boats? You drift. You drift. I did it last summer. I was fishing off the coast of Wales, not far out, just in a little kayak, totally absorbed in my fishing, lost all sense of time, in fact, just lost all sense. And looked up, and whoa, the rest of the family were just a little speck on the beach, miles away. I was very aware I was on a small boat and this was a big sea. I drifted because I stopped paying attention. I just got myself all comfortable and absorbed in the fishing. When you drift out to sea, it is dangerous. It is dangerous. Look at the next slide. You see, that lady, she's not snoozing anymore, is she? I mean, she's had to pull on her waterproofs and everything and deal with the fact she has drifted out into a huge storm. And the writer of the Hebrews is saying, don't drift away from Jesus, because drifting away from Jesus is like drifting out to sea. It's dangerous. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? How shall we escape? If we ignore such a great salvation, this salvation which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, and God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. See, God has testified that this is indeed his rescue plan. He's been telling us about a great salvation. He's been telling us about God's great rescue plan. He's saying the King of the universe has come, remember chapter 1, verse 3, to purify us from sin. Our sin meant we were cut adrift. Meant we were cut adrift from God. We were a long way out to sea. A long way from God. And we are in danger of the storm of God's judgment. We are in a dangerous place. And the good news that Hebrews starts with is the King has come to purify us from our sin. Do you see in verse 3 of chapter 1? He's come to die for our sin so we can be restored to God. He's come to rescue us from the storm of God's judgment, and he's come to lead us back into the safety of God's harbor. And he says it's a great salvation. It's a great rescue plan. Because if you stick close to Jesus, you really are safe. Everything else will be rolled up like an old dressing gown, he says. But he is the King. Do you remember we saw this last year in verse 12? He is the King whose years will never end. See, he is an eternal King, which means if he's got you safe, he has got you safe forever and ever and ever. Nothing can shake you. He'll never let you go. That is a great salvation. You're totally safe. So, verse 3, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? He's saying, do you see how dangerous it is to ignore this great rescue plan? In the harbor, the boat is safe. Oh, but if it drifts out to sea again, back out into the open sea, it is drifting back out to danger. And Hebrews wants us to ask ourselves, are we in danger of drifting? To which I guess we say, well, I'm not really sure. Last week, lots of people were asking, how can you tell that you're drifting? What are the signs that we are drifting back out to sea? Is it that Jesus starts to perhaps feel more distant in some way? Well, maybe. But the trouble is our feelings can be very unreliable. I'm sitting there fishing, and I don't feel that I'm drifting away. I feel perfectly happy. I'm really absorbed in my fishing. I don't feel that I'm drifting away from the beach. And that's the danger. We may not feel we are drifting away from Jesus. But Hebrews gives us a warning sign. The warning sign, the sign that means that we are in danger of drifting, is we've stopped listening to him. We've stopped listening to him. That's true in all relationships, isn't it? When a parent stops listening to a child. When a husband stops listening to a wife. When you stop listening to your best friend. You may feel everything is fine. We're just carrying on as ever. Fine. How's it going? Yeah, great. But the truth is, when you stop listening, you are drifting apart. And it's the same with Jesus. See, we may feel everything's fine, we're carrying on as before, you know, keep. But if we've stopped listening to him, the truth is we are drifting. So perhaps you used to set the alarm early because you wanted to start the day reading your Bible, because you wanted to listen to him, because you wanted to stick close to him, but now you hit snooze. Perhaps after camp last year, you started using some XTB notes to help you read the Bible because you wanted to listen to Jesus. You were so excited about that. But actually, the truth is you haven't done that for a while. Or you used to love coming along on a Sunday afternoon to gather here because you wanted to hear more of Jesus. You'd love to hear more of Jesus. But now, the truth is, well, we'll see how it fits in with other plans. Or you used to go to small group, because what you used to love about small group is the way other people used to help you to hear what Jesus was saying to you. And actually, now the truth is there's some things that Jesus says that you don't really want to hear, so you're not going along anymore. Or at mealtimes, you remember when the family used to read the Bible and you used to love to listen to the Bible being read, but now the truth is you're not really concentrating because you just wanted to go and play FIFA. Brothers and sisters, if we have stopped listening, We must not kid ourselves. We must not delude ourselves that everything is fine. We're fine. We're just carrying on as ever. The truth is, when we stop listening, we start drifting. And I suppose the question is, why? Why do we stop listening? Because often it's not intentional. We're just busy with other things. We're not paying attention to Jesus because we're just distracted by other things that are happening at work or at school or around the home. Other things just seem to hold our interest more. And the question is, why? Why do these other things seem so much more interesting? And often it's because we've just lost sight of who Jesus is. We've made him small. We've made him just another prophet. And we're not really sure that just another prophet is that interesting, is that worth listening to. And Hebrews is saying, no, the message we've heard is not being delivered by just another prophet. This is the message spoken by the King of the universe. This is the Son of God. Listen to him. Often it's because we've lost sight of who Jesus is. Often it's because we've lost sight of what Jesus has done. So we say, well, he may well be the Son of God and everything, but I'm not sure I'm that fussed about listening to him. But he's come to rescue us from the storm of God's judgment. He's come to make us safe forever. To stick with him. Stick with him, because to drift away from him, to drift out to sea again, into the storm again, would be a disaster. Chapter 2, verse 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Don't drift away. Listen to him. Stay close to him. What will that mean for each of us? Will it mean setting the alarm? Will it mean picking up some Bible notes from the table at the back? Will it mean guarding Sunday afternoons, making sure we can gather with other Christians? How will we all make sure we're listening to him? Be a great question to talk through in small groups later on. Great question to talk through around the family table. But what Hebrews says is, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we've heard, so that we do not drift away. Because drifting away is very serious. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize afresh who you are, that you are the King of the universe. And we recognize afresh what you have done, that you have come to rescue us, that yours is a great salvation, that you have come to make us safe forever. And we pray that just that sight of who you are and that reminder of what you've done would keep us longing to listen to you, would keep us delighting in staying close to you. And we can't do that by ourselves. So we pray for your help. Amen.